All right, well, I'm sitting with Charles Bruffy and Jen Rogers, both of the Phoenix Chorale. I got to say, I hate to say I told you so, but man, I told you so. You know, the congratulations on winning the Grammy again this year.
Thanks very much. You know, just it is a thrill beyond description. And, you know, there were a lot of people saying, I told you so, but I have to admit it, I didn't believe them. And so we were the 39th award to be given in the pre-broadcast. And I'm telling you, 39, and the Grammy goes to later. I was literally sick to my stomach by the time they actually gave out the award, because it was such an incredible event. The entire room was packed with people for, you know, all of the awards. And we had 70 people with us, both from Kansas City and from Phoenix, because it was both choirs together, the Phoenix Chorale having already won for Best Small Ensemble, the Kansas City Chorale already having won for Best Choral Performance. And when you bring those two Grammy-winning choirs together, magic is so possible. And we're just so very grateful that they were able to hear it.
The performance of the Rachmaninoff was 2014, as I recall.
Yes.
Yeah. And after the concert, I told you, I said, this is now yours. This has been Robert Shaw's piece. And I was just absolutely astonished at the sound. I mean, I always am when it's your groups, whether it's the Phoenix or Kansas City Chorales. And there's that Bruffy sound where you draw out of singers what's in your ear's eye, I guess, your heart's intent. I don't know. How many times have you been nominated now? Your Wikipedia page says 11. I think is it 12 now?
Oh, you know, it always depends on how you count them. I now have on my piano the hardware for 3. Now, how many nominations it took us to get there? Because, you know, some of them were Best Small Ensemble, Best Choral Performance, Best Engineer, Best Producer. There's a lot of bests in there, isn't there? Mm. Boy, that feels good, just parenthetically. But not all of those belong to me or to the choir, but they somehow get lumped into all of the nominations.
One of the things that it doesn't occur to the public when they're finding out that you've won a recording with these two outstanding groups that perform occasionally together, which is always a high point when that happens in a season, is all the people that produce, engineer, master, mix, post-production. And you've got a great group in Boston that you've been, how long have you been working with them?
Oh gosh, Jen, do you know?
I think back to 2004. That's when the Shakespeare and Song album came out.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, it's been over a decade.
Now, look at their webpage. They'll tell you they've got 80 nominations.
Right? Yes, they do.
Oh, yeah. 80 wins.
They keep track of that kind of thing.
It's a remarkable team, though, and they get a... They came... The recording was made in Kansas City.
That's right.
And so the chorale from here flew there. What's the... Actually, I'm going to ask you, Jen, because he's kind of, you know, stilted this way. What's the vibe like when you get these two groups together?
How do you say it? One singer said that it was like finding their long-lost twin. There's such a family with the singers in the Phoenix Chorale, very much the same in Kansas City. And when they come together, they have, like you said, the Bruffy sound. That blend just happens in a really beautiful, natural way, the way that they come together. And it's really cool to see their reaction when they get to make this even bigger sound with another choir that really locks in and kind of just fits into this perfect. They just settle in pretty quickly. And actually, I was in the control room all weekend and got to hear every take, took pictures, video, every take. And it was an incredible thing to get to witness as an observer, as a listener, as a fan, to see these people that had spent so much time and energy, poured so much of themselves into this, and the efficiency with how Charles worked with our producer, Blanton Allspaugh, was just profound and something I'd never witnessed before. They got into this groove and created this masterpiece. And with the two choirs, I think one of my favorite things from that weekend was when the two choirs actually went into the control room and got to hear the first movement. And I think that they all, it was, because they're not in the audience to hear how they sound. And when they heard that playback, the looks on their faces was priceless, because they're like, oh my gosh. And they kind of realized, I think they got a glimpse of what it was that they were actually creating.
Mm-hmm. And not to diminish anything about Robert Shaw, certainly, but I'm sure they all were familiar with that recording, which I think was made in 89, right? Something like that.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the early 90s. Something like that. And, you know, I was so lucky to get to sing with him and to work with him for about 10 years. And that thing about stepping into your hero's shoes, you know, where we all know that those are big shoes to fill. Well, when it's your hero and you knew him, and it was quite intimidating to come to the realization that in my career's path, I have found myself at the place where I have a voice now for this kind of work at this level. And it's very humbling and intimidating to realize that the work of my choirs is being compared to the work of his choirs, especially when I got to be one of the singers in his band.
It's nice, though, that he's figuring it out now. The rest of us have been aware of this for a while, you know. So you're coming to it slowly enough that it's not going to go to your head, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. Now, had you asked me mid-20s, I was an expert back then. Oh,
sure, right. We all were. You know? on anything in particular, right? The other thing we should mention is that you were up against some interesting competition. You know, it was kind of all over the place when you think about it.
You know, and I mentioned this in the acceptance speech, was just how proud I am that of the five nominees, three of them were American choirs. And I think that's quite remarkable. And then you look at the other two, the Bavarian Radio Symphony and Chorus doing the Missa Solemnis, Beethoven, and also the Harry Christophers and the 16, Monteverdi Vespers of 1610. That's big stuff. And, you know, we had a piece on the program that was of a similar magnitude as the Monteverdi Vespers, the Rachmaninoff All Night Vigil, that, you know, that it's one of the icons of all choraldom. And so it was really weighty about, would we receive the nod? Would we not? And it just is so gratifying that they appreciated, they being all of the voters, some of whom don't probably even know anything about choral music. They just heard us sing and thought, that's the one that's deserving, as well as, of course, all of the experts that heard it, too. It feels good.
Yeah. It was emotional for me because I really did think that this performance, I hadn't heard the recording yet, but that performance is certainly belying what would become a great recording. But Stephen Paulus, that was a wild card because the late composer who was just beloved by so many people and a great ensemble doing his work. Your acceptance speech, you mentioned not only Paulus and the other folks, but you also mentioned that Stephen Stuckey, I think, died the day before he won the award. This is a composer you know. You've commissioned works from him. And it was just pointed.
Yeah. It's, you know, Stephen Paulus was the composer to everyone. He wrote such beautiful and heartfelt music. And he was such a nice guy, and I mean, it was just, he was just the complete package for a composer. And then he had a debilitating stroke that left him powerless for a very long time, and then this recording, and then he died. And so it was a very bittersweet kind of thing that they were nominated for a recording all of Stephen Paulus's work, and additionally the work that they recorded was nominated for Best Classical Composition, and he won for that. And so his family was able to go up and receive the award. Then we had all kinds of pictures taken afterwards.
I was going to say, Jen, Facebook blew up. I mean,
yeah, we ruled the internet
on
Monday. Yeah, that was really fun.
But you had pointed out, though, in fact, we made mention in the news coverage we did on KBOC that day, or the day after the win, that this had been Billboard, you know, came off as number one. It was there for 5 weeks, mm-hmm. I think, on the charts. On it led the Apple. There's been a lot of work going into this, keeping it in front of the public's eye and making sure that people know about it. So kudos to you, too. How's that work?
Well, it helps that you have a team of folks that are all on board with the direction that we want to go in, and a mission and a belief in the actual recording itself. And it takes a lot of energy, a belief from our record label, from our distributor Naxos. They were very supportive, and we had developed a relationship with Apple, with iTunes, over the last couple of years, and so they also really helped champion it as well. And then, the singers. I mean, anybody out there that knows a singer knows that they have a huge network of folks. From if they're teaching or if they're at church. They have family members. I mean, it's just, so when you have a total of 56 singers and you're tapping into their network too, and everybody, like, it really comes down to there's a pride with the recording, but it's also just such a deep connection to it and wanting everybody to get to hear it. And I think that was really kind of the guiding factor for all of us, was just that we really believed in this recording, and everybody really wanted to share it. And so we did everything that we could to pull out all the stops to make sure that everybody heard it.
I want to ask you this first, because I've known you as a passionate advocate for the arts, whatever group you were with, but now for how many years with the Phoenix Chorale?
8 years this month.
Is it
actually?
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I'm getting old. But I want to ask you, and then I'll ask Charles. I'm going to give him a little heads up on the coming question. What does it mean to the Chorale? What does it mean to the front office to say, 2 Grammys. And it was,
it just shows that we continue to be an elite organization, an elite artistic ensemble that continues to produce really high quality art. And that serves our mission. I mean, I had a patron on the phone the other day that said, "You make the world a better place," so when you have something like this, it gets everybody in the communities excited. Here and in Kansas City, everybody's over the moon, and we believed in the recording from the beginning. It's that extra bit of, it's just an extra boost to get everybody else to go, "Oh yeah, that's right. You guys are pretty awesome. We know that, but now, oh yeah, you're continuing to be really great," I guess. I guess it's just kind of showing that there's a consistency with what we're doing, that it's just really at a high level.
It's that odd dynamic, too, of when, and I love doing it at KBOC, when you play local artists, people who tour the world, and they tour the world, and they wear a tuxedo, they go out on a stage, they come home, and they're just the guy in Tempe cutting their yard, And you got to wake people and say, "Wait a minute, this is who this guy is, or this group is." What does it mean to you and the Chorales?
Well, as Jen says, it does put us on a very elite level, but what our overriding goal is to be heard, that we want to share what we do with as many listeners as we can. And so while what we do is very elite, we are not at all elitist, but we are very available. We have all of those open Friday, first Friday rehearsals where we invite people to come in for free to see what we do behind the scenes in our rehearsals. We are on Spotify and Pandora and, you know, all of those kinds of streaming outlets. We do public concerts. What the Grammy does to me, for me personally, at least on the interior, is that it just acknowledges that what we are doing is on the right track. And I revel in the fact, I saw a sign this morning that said that we are classically cool. That's fun. You know, that's fun to be cool, and that we are able to do that in a classical art form. That's good stuff.
Yeah. Selfishly for me, there was a list that came out. I don't know how long it was. It seems like it was 3 or 4 years ago. And I think it was put together by Gramophone Magazine. The top 20 choirs in the world. And just about every group was in England. Really just ticked me off. There's this great tradition in this country. A melting pot of, well, America is a melting pot. But of styles, of nationalities, of voice box construction. You come here and there's no choirs that sound in the world like American choirs, to my ear.
Apparently, we weren't on that top 20 list.
We were not.
We were on the top 25 list. You know, that is something that I think about frequently. The British choirs, those people grow up singing in choir schools. Their style of singing is built on the fact that all of the men start singing as trebles. And then as their voices mature, then the adult men continue to sing with the boy trebles. And so it's that color, and I don't want them to hear me say simple, but very straightforward tone that makes, and clean, straightforward and clean. That's what gives the brand of British choral singing. I think in all sorts of ways, being an American comes with responsibility. Now, don't get nervous. I'll speak only about the responsibility of the choral art. Because we Americans are made up of so many, it is important to us that we come to what we do fully informed. This is a huge generalization, but when you hear a British choir singing Brahms, they sound like a British choir singing Brahms. And it is my feeling that when American choirs, at least of this stature, that when we sing Brahms, we must sound like a German choir. When we sing Chinese folk songs, we must sound like Chinese peasants that are singing for the joy of it. When we sing Russian liturgical music, we better have some dirt under our fingernails.
I'd never thought of it that way, but you're right. The treble idea from England and the youth choirs and the idea of developing the voice so that it lasts. There were traditions in other countries where you got to where your voice changed, that you're done. You're not going to sing anymore because the voice has been exploited so badly, but I'd never put it in those terms. I noticed something that kind of troubled me or concerned me, and that was that in 1988, you took on the Kansas City Chorale. 1998, you took on the Phoenix Chorale, and then it was 2008 that you went with the Kansas City Symphony. Is that right? This is what I'm getting all this
off. I think that's right. Yeah. I think that's right.
It's 2016. Are there going to be changes or additions in 2018? What's going on?
Yeah. Just how many straws will it take to break the back?
Not to mention, you're the music ministry at your Presbyterian church in Overland Park.
Right. Have I mentioned that I bought a farm?
You haven't on microphone, no.
Well, it's fact.
The horses were mentioned, though, in the acceptance speech.
Yes, right? Because, you know, I get to travel a lot, and I have 22 horses, and they require care all the time, whether I'm home or not, and so I'm so lucky that I get to have people that help me.
That was a good way to evade the question there. So,
oh, no. People ask me, what's new? My response, who has time for new?
I always want to know what's next. I'm always asking that, probably to the annoyance of most people. When you talk about, you talk about doing Russian liturgical music. You're right. Everybody's got to be on board with that sound. But you got to have basses. Can you tell, is David Topping Russian? What's
And he isn't even the lowest of the lows.
I understand.
We could go way lower than that.
It's freaking me out, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it is a gas to wave your arms over there and hear this profoundly low organ pedal that you feel in your bones.
The pipes you can't hear.
That's right. I don't even dream those sounds.
Well, again, congratulations to both chorales, to you both, all of your efforts in bringing home the Grammy. Well, to two cities. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks very much for having us and for your kind words.